The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Thursday, May 9th, and we have a great day coming up and a nice day on tap as well. We for our guest this morning, we have Liana Toscanini. She is the Executive Director of Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. We're going to be talking about nonprofits and some of the events that the Nonprofit Center has coming up in the next couple of months and some of the things that they do for the community and the nonprofit world in particular. Lots of stuff that you may not know is going on, but if you're a nonprofit organization or you work for one, you might find this program pretty interesting, even if you're not. So stick around for that whole program. We'll be right back after we listen to the Berkshire weather forecast from the National Weather Service. That's coming up, we'll find out what's on tap for our weather over the next 36 hours or so. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid-60s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour this morning. Tonight, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers. Lows in the mid-40s. East wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Friday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. Highs in the mid-50s. East wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, we got tastes of nice weather around this time of the year. Yesterday we hit 80, or pretty close to it, I think. Beautiful day. We're going to have more clouds and showers over the next couple days, maybe a little cooler. But, you know, the trees are coming out and the flowers and, boy, it's quite nice out there, actually, for spring. If you like spring, this is definitely the time for that. All right. Welcome back again. Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. And by Zoom this morning, we have Liana Toscanini. Let's see if we have her on Zoom. Good morning, Liana. How are you?
Hey, Sean. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And glad all the technology worked. You know, we had a little flashback there at the beginning, didn't we, when we popped the Zoom on and we said, well, we haven't done a live morning drive by Zoom since the pandemic. And we're like, wow, that brought back a lot of memories. But I remember you were one of the people during that time that joined us and had an interview. So, you know, it does allow us a lot of choices, being able to bring people in from further away or, you know, morning time isn't necessarily always the greatest time for people's appointment books. So we recognize that. And it's really great to be able to bring people onto the show. So thank you so much for joining us here this morning on the morning program.
You're welcome. And, you know, I live in Sandusfield, so Zoom is my savior, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that Berkshire County can be a challenge geographically in a lot of ways. And, you know, my wife and I have had this discussion many times because we grew up in sort of opposite ends of the county as well. And there were just some things in South Berkshire County that I was completely unaware of even existed, you know, while I was growing up, because they just were too far away, you know, from our daily lives. You know, and whereas maybe we had more connection with a place like Bennington, Vermont, you know, or Stamford or Reedsboro, some place like that, where, you know, in the south part of the county, it has different challenges and different geography. So certainly in Sandusfield, you probably feel a lot more connected to northwest Connecticut, right, and parts of eastern New York, places like that. But it sort of demonstrates some of the challenges that organizations throughout the county can have and how different they can be from one place to another. Isn't that right?
Yes, and that affects pretty much everything we're talking about this morning. because, you know, if we have an event, we almost have to do it in Pittsfield if we want all Berkshire nonprofits to be able to get there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a real challenge, just from an organizational standpoint, you know, in many practical matters. So it'll come up as we discuss some of these events that we're having, which are all centrally located for the most part.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense in a lot of ways, is that you do have to bring, when you're bringing people together, you know, in a physical space, right, where more of us are used to being able to pop onto a Zoom meeting. And we do a lot of that, and that's been very productive, right? There've been a lot of good advantages to that, but nothing really beats getting together with other people and seeing them in person and, you know, shaking some hands. There's a lot of things that happen when you meet somebody in person that is difficult to happen when you're on Zoom.
Yeah. So we try to do a mix of both.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so it makes perfect sense. And we do the same here. So a couple things coming up for the Nonprofit Center. Let's talk first about the kinds of things that the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires does in the nonprofit sector in the county. How long have you been doing it, and sort of what got you into it originally?
So we've been at this now for about 8 years, and the idea came to me as someone who volunteers a lot and someone who gets asked a lot for help, whether it's writing a press release or filling out a grant application. And I remember thinking there has to be a better way. And this happened after this sort of run-in in the grocery store with multiple people over a period of like 10 days. I must have had 5 or 6 requests for help, almost like I was wearing a sign on my head that said, I'll do it. Right. Yeah. And you know how that is when you volunteer in Berkshire County, everybody knows your name and starts to ask you for things. And so the idea of creating a nonprofit center was kind of a no-brainer. There had to be some central resource for people. And I had gained a lot of knowledge over 20 plus years of volunteering here and serving on nonprofit boards. So I created the structure from nothing. And it apparently was the right idea, because people know now to call the Nonprofit Center when they have any question whatsoever about nonprofit work. You know, whether it's I need a bookkeeper or a strategic planning facilitator, to how much does an executive director make. So people, I probably get anywhere between 2 and 6 calls or emails a day just asking for information. And I have gathered a lot of materials, and I connect everyone to either people or information or websites or documents, and they can be on their way doing their work.
And so those are kind of some of the questions that you field on a regular basis, mainly things that if you're sort of caught in a sort of a small area of your either particular business, or, you know, you're sort of stuck in the day to day, but you need to know some of the resources that are available to you that maybe could help doing the kinds of things that your organization needs to do. Is that kind of the questions you get, or are they all kinds of different things?
It's a lot of different kinds of things, but mostly the idea is that it's faster to make one email than it is to go online and start researching, you know, consultants and things like that. And there's a little bit of personal service there too. You know, we may have 4 strategic planning facilitators in Berkshire County, but I might be able to pick the best one for you based on the makeup of your board, where you're located, how much money you want to spend. So there's a little bit of personal service there, but referrals are, you know, just one small part of the pie. The extension of that is our resource directory, where we actually have a printed booklet of all the resources that nonprofits might need. You can also download it online. And we do a resource fair, and I believe you guys have participated in that, where, you know, anyone who serves the nonprofit sector can come and have a table. And that could be a bank, and it could be a graphic designer, and it could be your local media station. So we really like connecting nonprofits to business people, and that's good for our economy. And as you know, one in four jobs in Berkshire County is nonprofit. So we're a huge part of this economy.
Right.
It's something like 13,000 jobs at last count. I mean, that was years ago. But it's big. And in fact,
and it's a much higher percentage, right, than it is in other parts of the state. I think probably the only other county that has that kind of percentage of nonprofit jobs and nonprofit organizations versus other corporations is probably the Cape, I'm guessing.
Yes, Nantucket.
Yeah, the island.
But we actually rank 27th in the entire U.S.
No kidding.
For nonprofit employment. So it's a big deal here.
Yeah.
So, you know, as such, nonprofits are businesses, and we have to help them run their businesses accordingly.
And I would think there's all kinds of different nonprofits that you serve as well. And just knowing, for instance, that PCTV and WTBR is a nonprofit, which we try to remind people about all the time, we're kind of a different kind of nonprofit than people might think about when it comes to a, you know, public charity. You know, I could think of all manner of different kinds of nonprofits. And a lot of times I wouldn't think of a TV station, for example. So I would imagine that there's other ones in Berkshire County that are critical, you know, sort of linchpins of the communities that they are in, that they serve, that they serve very particular needs. Do you find that the diversity of different nonprofit organizations is interesting here in Berkshires?
Well, we do. I mean, obviously there's about 10 different categories of nonprofit. So it's arts and culture. You know, you would fall kind of in the humanities area, I think. There's environment and nature, you know, animal related, health and human services, housing, human rights, you know, youth and education. It goes on and on. But we skew very heavily here in Berkshire County with arts and culture, of course, and health. Health and Human Services. So, and, you know, the way the county splits up, the Central Berkshire area has the most nonprofits, about 400. Northern Berkshire County has about 125, and South Berkshire County has about 265 nonprofits.
Wow.
So it's well over 1,000. What I call normal nonprofits, people who have to raise money for their missions, is about 400 and 500.
Yeah,
four to 500. You know,
and again, to reiterate, there, those organizations are fundraising for their very existence all the time to keep them to keep their mission going, to keep the lights on and the operations going.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of additional nonprofits that might be one person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know a woman in Otis who collects textbooks and books for kids in South America.
Wow.
Right? She's got a nonprofit.
Yeah, yeah.
And she collects books and she brings them over there, and that's great. But she doesn't operate the way an organization would who's having events out there in the community, et cetera. So 400 to 500 is about what we're talking about for us. So we also do workshops and webinars talking about Zoom convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And we do lots of publications, including the Giving Back Guide, which is a directory of all our nonprofits. And we also do networking events like the upcoming nonprofit awards event and various kind of roundtables, convenings, things like that. And during Zoom, we had executive directors meeting on Zoom to talk about the challenges of running organizations. So, and of course, we have a website with tons of resources, and we do coaching and office hours and legislative town halls and fiscal sponsorship. We have probably 24 programs.
Wow, that's a lot. And it is a tremendous resource for the nonprofit community where, you know, without that, you feel a little bit more like a ship floating in the water, you know, a little unmoored. It's like, you know, it's nice to know that there are other nonprofits in the area with the same kinds of concerns, or, you know, you may not have even identified that you have a need in some way, and then you hear another organization talk about it, and you're like, yeah, you know, actually, we have that same issue. You know, let's talk about that. You know, healthcare for small organizations, for example, came up at the last legislative breakfast that you had, and that was a Zoom function as well, but you had all of the state legislative delegation on with that, and they got a chance to get an earful from the nonprofit sector and the kinds of needs that they have. So again, that was, you know, eye-opening in some ways, hearing, and I'm sure it was for them as well, to know that, you know, this very important sector in their economy, as a legislator, you know, they're driving down to Boston, you know, it's a long trip to get there and to make the voice of the Berkshires heard. And then to know that, you know, you have the concerns of one quarter of all the employment in the county, you know, behind you at that point. Very interesting. Liana Toscanini is my guest this morning on Morning Drive. She is the executive director of Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. And so you mentioned, Liana, one of the things coming up. So let's delve into that a little bit. We have the 7th annual Berkshire Nonprofit Awards coming up, and that's on May 21st. Let's talk about that a little bit. So that, where is that going to be this year?
So new this year for us is our host, Kripalu Center for Yoga and Wellness. We usually inhabit country clubs because mm-hmm. it's a big event with hundreds of people, but Kripalu can fit us. And, you know, Kripalu is on a mission to make sure that everyone in our community knows that they are a resource, that it's for everyone. And they're particularly great with the nonprofit sector, making a lot of scholarships available for nonprofit leaders so that they can come and sort of figure out how to do their jobs better by learning how to take care of themselves, basically. And so they've really been quite active inviting nonprofit leaders and others to participate for free. Lots of scholarships. And so we're happy to be there because, and I know they're happy to have us because there will be many, many people who have never actually been to Kripalu. Some people who have lived here all their lives, right? And so they are a community resource and we're happy to be there. So they have a great hall, this giant room with a very tall ceiling that's going to be wonderful, acoustically speaking. To gather in, and we will start with networking and breakfast like we normally do. And we will then move on to the awards presentation, which includes, of course, our 7 honorees. So these are people who work in the nonprofit sector who are being honored for their dedication, their commitment, going above and beyond in 7 different categories.
And so how many nominees did you have this year in those 7 categories?
So we had about 10 nominations per category, so wow. About 62 nominations all told.
Okay.
Sometimes we have more, sometimes less. It just depends what happens. You know, filling out that nomination form is work.
Yeah.
So we always have to give a shout out to the nominators because they're the ones doing all the work to pull that information together.
Sure.
We had 21 judges. So we put 3 judges per category. And they meet separately and discuss amongst themselves. And then we all come together as a big group on Zoom. So again, Zoom is very helpful here
yeah.
to get 21 people from all over the county together.
Right.
And they made their choices. And this year's honorees are incredible. Like, I think what I learn when I read all these nominations, because I'm probably the only one who reads them all in any given time. And what I have learned is that there are so many incredible people in our county. And I know a lot of them have been on your radio show.
Yeah.
We know that. But also there are a lot of folks that are kind of behind the scenes and we get to honor those people too. So that's really, really nice. And this is a once a year event. It's probably one of the bigger nonprofit sector events. Yeah. And it's a wonderful celebration. You know, it's a morning event. People are cheery and peppy.
And speak for yourself. Those of us that have to get up at 5:30 to do a radio show. I don't know about peppy being one of my adjectives, but we'll go with that. That's fine.
So it is, it's just a celebratory event. It's very uplifting because people learn about the good work that's being done in our community. It's a great way to get over your depression reading the national news or international news. So it's, yeah, it's just a nice event. And the honorees are really terrific. And you know, our rock star honoree this year is Brenda Patel of Berkshire United Way.
Yeah.
And she's well known to you all.
Absolutely. Yep. We've done a lot with Brenda, and she is indeed a dynamo, so very deserving of the award. So, and what category award did she win in?
So she is our rock star.
The rock star.
And anyone who knows Brenda knows she absolutely is a rock star. She's the go-to person for volunteerism. Mm-hmm. She works with a lot of food drives, helping immigrants, meal programs. You know, she does all that in her personal life as well as her work life. Mm-hmm. And she helps people find volunteer jobs. She herself is a VITA volunteer. Mm. So she is a rock star because it's her whole life, and she's helped so many people. And she makes a great rock star honoree. This year, our board leadership award is going to Kate Barton, who is the board chair of the Berkshire Immigrant Center.
Okay.
And she led them through pandemic, new executive director, and also becoming their own nonprofit. They had been under the fiscal sponsorship of a statewide organization called MIRA for years, for 25 years or something. And they finally have become their own nonprofit. Mm. So she led the organization through all of that. And
anybody that's been through that process too, of getting your own 501c3, you know, the IRS process, and getting your bylaws done and getting that to the state, and, you know, getting your board together, your initial board. And it's a big process, and it's not for the faint of heart for sure. And then just maintaining that over the years is another thing. And I guess that goes to another question. We'll continue on the honorees here for a moment, but there must be a variety of different nonprofit organizations in the county with different lengths of tenure. There are probably some nonprofits that have been around for decades, and there are probably some that have only recently emerged to fill a particular need, right?
Yeah, and we, you know, we obviously excel in helping the little guys. You know, we try to have something for everyone. So, for example, if we have the legislative town hall, Tanglewood might come, Jacob's Pillow might come, the big established nonprofits like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We'll attend something like that and nominate people for awards. But the small guys are the ones that literally sometimes have no idea what they're doing, but they're doing incredible work in the community. So it is a huge range.
And it's hard, too, because, you know, generally, you know, you start the nonprofit from, you know, your heart, essentially. It's you're filling a need because it's not so much that you're just looking for a job. You're looking to do something positive. And that's, and again, what this awards ceremony is celebrating, right, is all the positive. It's a great positive event. And then all the other stuff comes along with it, right? You know that you can't just do the things that you love to do for your mission. You also have to do the board work, and you have to do the paperwork and the, you know, all the other things that sort of come along. You just, it's just a requirement. You have to do it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, these are passion projects for sure. You know, usually people have been through something and see the need and want to help other people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thankfully the IRS and the Commonwealth don't put up too many barriers. Hmm. But like you said, it's real work to put together a board of directors, to raise money, to do everything by the book, right?
Yeah.
So that the IRS and the Commonwealth can honor your nonprofit status. So it's it isn't for the faint of heart, but people are so passionate and driven when they've got an idea, right? And we can sympathize because I was one of those people 8 years ago. So I've been through that whole process, and I often help the little guys with their 501c3, mm-hmm. you know, explaining mm-hmm. to them what's needed. And so that's, and you know, there are a lot of new nonprofits every year, so it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But getting back to the awards, Many people in Pittsfield will know Jess Vecchia, the executive director of Roots Rising. She is our executive leadership honoree this year. And Roots Rising has done incredible work with the farmers market and teen youth crews. And now they're getting their own farm. So it's a real moment for them. And this is a great time to be honoring Jess's leadership.
Great.
Our volunteer honoree this year is Jude Wesselman, who runs the ELF clothing, warm clothing program for Berkshire Community Action Council. And she's the one that coordinates, you know, it's so much clothing and boots and scarves and coats and hats. And she gets it. It takes her months to put it all together. But then she takes great joy in watching people come to their boutique and shop for everything they need for their kids and their family. So it's great work that she does. And
a lot of rewarding work from the volunteer perspective also, right? And we've talked about that on this show before with you and with Brenda Patel about how meaningful that volunteer work can be, and how we need to continue to encourage that for people, you know, for both sides, the people that need the work done and the people who are doing the work that feel fulfilled when they're doing it.
And, you know, Jude is retired, so this is a great project for her. You know, she feels useful, engaged. She's made a lot of friends. So volunteering is what it's all about. And we'll talk about our upcoming volunteer fair later. And as far as the rest of the honorees go, our unsung hero is Karen Richards, who is partially retired and works for and volunteers for four different arts organizations, including the Mahewi, the Du Bois Freedom Center, Wham Theater, and the Mount. So she's an incredible resource for those four organizations, and they really value her. Our youth leadership honoree is Noelia Salinetti. She's a senior at Monument Mountain High School. She's an activist, a student leader, and she's really an incredible young person. Her parents must be super proud. They are a member of the Railroad Street Youth Projects Task Force. I think they're on something like four different committees. So very, very active, and totally gives us hope, right, for the future. If a young person can be this active and vocal and make a difference in their community.
It seems to be more rare these days than it used to be, but certainly seeing a young person start into that realm so early, it gives us great promise to know that there are still people out there who want to do things and also identify that as a priority in their lives early. Because sometimes I think people don't come to a realization that the needs are out there and that it can be a rewarding experience until later in life. So it's like this, it's nice to see that happening earlier.
It's interesting because Noelia did mention that the Berkshires kind of nurtures this engagement. And I do think that's true. Yeah. We have a community where young people can have a voice, which is great. And finally, our lifetime achievement honoree this year is Chris Melski of Berkshire County ARC. He has been there for 38 years. He manages 50 different properties, 37 vans. He's got a staff of 600, and they make sure that the quality of life for people with individuals, 400 individuals with disabilities, is good. And he knows lots of them personally. He takes them to lunch. He has a heart of gold, and he loves his job and has been there a long time, and he's not ready to retire yet, but he has been there for 38 years, which is pretty incredible. So yeah, Chris Melski, we're super excited to be honoring him and his service to Berkshire County ARC. So yeah, that's our lineup. And
that's great. Very inspiring lineup. And it's nice to hear the backstories of the people that are going to be there. And those folks will all be there at Kripalu on May 21st, right? That's the date, and it's a breakfast. It's a morning thing. I did hear from you just before we went on air that you're actually sold out, that the tickets are, that you're full up. Can people still go if they want to, or is there a way to see this if they can't make it?
Yes. So we always sell out. It's just the nature of this kind of happy event.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many, there are not too many places in Berkshire County that can house 200-300 people.
Right.
But we are going to, Kripalu has a fantastic tech team, and they're going to be live streaming the event. And the link to register for that live stream is on our website, npcberkshires.org. So anyone who can't get a ticket can certainly watch it live. And then we know that our beloved public access television stations also air the event either live stream or later on. So there's always a chance. And of course, the recording ends up on YouTube eventually. So there's all, if you know someone who's getting an award or just want to see what happens when 200 plus nonprofit folks get together in the community, you'll be able to check that out May 21st or beyond.
All right, there you go. So we are speaking this morning with Liana Toscanini. She is the Executive Director of Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. We've been talking about the 2024 Berkshire Nonprofit Awards ceremony, which is happening on May 21st. And we're going to have Liana back for the second half of the show. We're going to talk about some of the other big events coming up. There's a big convening and a volunteer fair and lots of other things happening. So stick around with Morning Drive here. We will be right back after this. And you're listening to 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Have you ever needed help? It's not a trick question. It's an easy one. Why? Because the answer is yes. Everybody needs help sometimes. ServiceNet is a nonprofit mental health and human services organization with over 100 programs across Western Massachusetts. Whether you or your family need help with a temporary concern or with a long-standing issue, you're not alone. ServiceNet is here to help. To learn more, visit servicenet.org today.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hello, wonderful people. This is your host, Tariq Pinkston, for the show. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. So that 12:30 slot is a time to help fill cups, fill your gas tank, and just give you a reboot for the day. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Fill the gas tank, and I hope to see you there every Friday, 12:30 p.m. here on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on Thursday, May 9th. And welcome to the show. If you're just joining us, we have Liana Toscanini with us. She is the executive director of Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. We're talking about all kinds of things about nonprofits and also about the events that NPC is putting together over the next couple of months, a couple of big things that we're about to talk about here in the second half of the show. We'll be right back to that in a moment. First, let's go to the weather forecast one more time and find out what is in store for us today from the National Weather Service. Here we are.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid-60s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour this morning. Tonight, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers. Lows in the mid-40s. East wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Friday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. Highs in the mid-50s. East wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you go. Some pretty typical spring weather for you. And I do want to mention before we get back to our interview with Liana that PCTV's Eats a Pizza event is coming up, and that's Thursday, May 23rd at 6 p.m. at Berkshire Hills Country Club in Pittsfield. We had a great time with that last year, and a lot of people came and had great pizza from 9 different local restaurants, including Pizza Trails, Dalton HD Pizza, The Locker Room, Berkshire Mantiques, KJ Nosh, Porta Villa, Papa John's, Papa Joe's Ristorante, and Zuko's Family Restaurant. So that is a great thing. We've got tickets that are available right now on the website. You can go to pittsfieldtv.org/pizza, and that's how you can get your tickets for that. And Berkshire Hills, as we know, a nice venue for that, very centrally located, and it's just a great night, family-friendly. You can check out the prices of the tickets online. And we'll hope to see you there at our Eats a Pizza event, May 23rd. All right, back to our interview. And good morning again, Liana. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Always great to be here, Sean, telling you all about the stuff that's going on in the nonprofit sector. And of course, you are a nonprofit also, so we always have a good time chatting.
Absolutely. And so what a wonderful event you've got coming up at Kerpalu, and we talked about that in the first half. Let's move on to a convening that you have on June 14th at Lenox Town Hall over sharing resources. So tell us, what was the genesis for this event? What brought you to sort of want to offer this to the nonprofit sector?
So the topic of sharing resources comes up all the time because for obvious reasons, it's a way for nonprofits to gain efficiency, share costs, maybe access things they normally wouldn't be able to. You know, there are lots of barriers to sharing services. We talked about one, which is geography.
Yeah.
Kind of difficult to share a piece of equipment in two different parts of the county.
Right.
But, you know, it's more than just equipment, of course. Sometimes it's knowledge. And that there is something we can do about because knowledge can live in a database online and everyone can access it.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger challenges are just getting everyone to buy into the concept. There are some upfront costs sometimes. Sometimes it takes years to realize the cost efficiencies. And there are, you know, sort of internal culture issues as well. If we combine this job, will someone lose their job? You know, will people expect us to do this all the time? Blah, blah, blah. So,
so we're talking about cost efficiencies. Are we talking about, like, is it job sharing or is it maybe also purchasing things that you could get at a better rate if you bought more of them? And so groups of organizations could come together and have a greater purchasing power. Are those the kind of things we're talking about?
Yes. I mean, and literally almost anything can be shared.
Mm.
So what we hear a lot is many small nonprofits do not have a human resources person,
okay,
for example.
Yeah. Sure.
So, or even a social media person.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, if you only have a couple of employees,
an IT person.
Right?
Yeah.
It's hard to have all those things that the big companies have and they don't realize how good they've got it, right? When they've got a person just to do that job.
Exactly. So, you know, those are all, you know, bookkeeping, all those kinds of services can be shared. But equipment, and what we heard from our recent survey, for example, is that food pantries, which are remain in big demand since COVID, are sharing vans. You know, if a van from one organization is traveling to the Western Mass Food Bank, they can pick up food for another smaller pantry. So we're seeing some of that. Some people share actual staff. Literally, the staff person is split between two organizations. And, you know, there's got to be some kind of a agreement for that. And probably one of those organizations is that staff is on their payroll.
Yeah.
Right. And then so it's tricky because
I would think so. I would think that would be difficult, but not impossible. Right. And if you've got a financial reality that says, well, we either do it this way or we can't do it, then you probably find a way to do it.
Yes. And so our job, we're considering part of our job is to research how those things happen, right? What are the contract templates that you need to put this in place? And one of the reasons that we are partnering with Representative Smitty Pignatelli on this is because he's been a big advocate for sharing resources at the municipal level. So he's got some great experience. He's been successful in some of those efforts, and he kindly will host this event with us in the Lenox Town Hall Auditorium on June 14th from 10 to 12. And we're inviting nonprofit leaders to come and try to flesh out a little bit more. How can we get around those barriers, right? What kind of structure do we need to do more of this? Now, it should be noted that about a third of the nonprofits that we surveyed are already sharing a kind of low level of resources, right? So maybe two organizations bought a color printer together, right? You know, they're already swapping memberships, let's say. And, you know, we do that too. We swap memberships with you and with Downtown Pittsfield Inc. and the Southern Berkshire Chamber. So, you know, we're already sharing some benefits and things like that. But we want to figure out a way to do some more serious and larger sharing. And that is going to take some discussion. So that's what the convening is about. We're going to share our results of the work, the actual study we did in 2018, and also the recent survey we did. We're going to share research we've done on the models for sharing services, and then kind of break out into groups and talk about what models might work best for our county. One of the things I'm thinking is to share by type of organization. So for example, if you don't have a building, you don't need to share snow plowing services, right? So everyone who's got a physical building should be sitting in the same room, right? Because they have things they need, cleaning and maintenance services. They want to share that type of thing because it's hard to find those people.
Right.
Right. So those folks need to be sitting in one room. Maybe arts organizations need to be sitting in one room because they all have ticketing, you know, or whatever. I'm making this up, but we're thinking that it might be by category of nonprofit and possibly by size. For example, a bunch of small organizations could get together who don't have an HR person at all or an IT person, and they could all split one, you know.
Those seem to be some of the things that if you're a small organization, those are the tasks that are sort of, you know, handed out to whoever's the most tech savvy, for instance. Oh, you're our IT person, you know, amongst your other jobs, you sort of do this on the side. Or, you know, the HR, it isn't quite as easy to do that because, you know, it can be very sensitive, you know, area. You kind of, you know, usually the executive director is the de facto HR person as well, right? But it just depends on the size of the organization. You know, health insurance is another thing that you have to deal with, you know. And we all sort of have to, we all sort of run in those same circles with anyone that has an employee, you know, more than one employee. You start to have some shared issues, right? Some things that you could use some help with.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that sharing information is just as valuable sometimes. And of course, we do that all the time. But when you put a bunch of nonprofits together and they start sharing their, you know, how they do things with other folks who might be struggling, that's a huge, huge help. Mm. So it's not just equipment or staff or services, but knowledge, right? Sharing knowledge is really helpful. And I think that's where really cool collaborations come. And where you get this feeling, like you were talking about before, that you're not alone, mm-hmm. right? That you have this support group, not just the nonprofit center, but your other fellow executive directors and staff folks who really know what they're doing. You know, so one organization just might be super skilled in the health insurance issues mm-hmm. that we all face, right? And another might just be exploring health insurance for their two employees for the very first time. So it does make sense to try to find a repository for all that information. There is one thing that everyone agrees on, is that if there is no central organization to manage this, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And so, of course, you can imagine that that probably falls to the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. Our problem is that we're really small also. So it's going to take something special to make that happen, both in terms of money and manpower. We're totally willing to do that. And we do know from our most recent survey that the things that are topping the list that people want to share, and we can completely help with this, are grant writers, top of the list,
oh boy.
Right? And I spent yesterday actually compiling a list of grant writers because I had the information in all different places.
Very specialized skill there too. And not necessarily something you want to jump into the deep end on if you haven't done it before.
Well, it's interesting. You know, people have different work situations these days.
Yeah.
So sometimes people are retiring and they wrote a lot of grants in their day and they might be able to help. Hmm. And we've certainly put small nonprofits in touch with those folks because that's a great, wonderful volunteer opportunity for someone. We are pretty thin on the ground in terms of grant writers.
Hmm.
We didn't have a lot to begin with in Berkshire County, and some of them moved. And I'm just starting to see the pipeline fill up again with either people who have moved here during COVID or people, for example, who are teachers and they have all summer free. So if they're experienced, they can write grants as a side gig.
You think it would be fertile ground with, as we talked about, the number of nonprofits and the percentage of nonprofit organizations versus for-profits in the county being very high. The need for grant writers, I would think, would be right up there.
Yeah, it is right up there. And it's everything. It's fundraising mm-hmm. people, graphic mm-hmm. design. We talked about building maintenance, HR, bookkeeping, database administration. There is no end to what people could share. And so we hope that this convening gets us one step closer. And again, that's June 14th at Lenox Town Hall in the auditorium with Representative Smitty Pignatelli and the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires hosting and facilitating. We actually have a professional facilitator for this one, a guy named Jim Ayers, who's a terrific facilitator and loves exactly this type of project. So
what time of the day is that happening on June 14th?
10 to 12.
10 to 12. All right. So mark that in your calendars if you're interested in a nonprofit organization and you're interested in doing some sharing or maybe even just talk about what items could be shared between you and other organizations. That's a great event. On July 12th, you have an event coming up with the Berkshire United Way, and that's something that you've done in the past, a volunteer fair at the Berkshire Innovation Center. So let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, so the volunteer fair allows us to feature 30 different nonprofits. Hmm. Table fees are pretty modest because, you know, we know nonprofits and budgets. it's free for the community at large to attend. We all know, and certainly now post-COVID, volunteering is creeping back up again as a really fun way to meet people and feel engaged and not lose your brain power after you've retired and, feel like you can give back to the community in some way.
Yeah.
So We love the Berkshire Innovation Center. It's air conditioned. The staff is great. They're wonderful hosts. We can fit a lot of people in there. There's plenty of parking. So it's our favored spot. So this year it is July 12th, same time, I think, 12 to 3. Hmm. And we welcome anyone and everyone to come by, grab a cup of coffee and a little sweet thing and walk around at your convenience to different tables, meeting different nonprofits, collecting some information, seeing what they need. And we've had great success.
It was a good turnout last year.
Yeah, and we always, you know, ask the nonprofits, did you get any volunteers? And they said, look at this list.
Yeah, we did.
Sometimes there are 20 people on the list. You know, it's really, people who show up to this fair are really serious about volunteering. So it's great. We do these periodically, once, twice, three times a year in different parts of the county. And so this one, of course, is centrally located, but, you know, nonprofits from everywhere come to set up a table, particularly South County nonprofits who have Pittsfield locations. That's a great way for them to, you know, up their ante in the central Berkshire County area.
Right.
And then we usually do one in northern Berkshire County separately just because of the distance, and the types of nonprofits up there. So we are doing that in November at Williams College. So we're excited about that.
Great. And yeah, I got to say, you know, having been involved with it ourselves here for PCTV, we did get a number of people who were interested in pursuing some volunteer opportunities here at our place. And it was a good turnout. And I'm sure that it's good on the other side, too. The volunteers that are coming in, they get a chance to see some organizations they may not have even thought about having opportunities to volunteer at and the kinds of things that they do. And that's really what you get to do is you get to talk one-on-one with a representative to say, okay, if I'm a volunteer with the organization, what would I actually be doing? When, you know, how often would I come? And what kinds of things do I do? What kind of people do I talk to and meet and work with? What kind of skills do you need? You know, that kind of thing. That's what I think was most important about it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just one of many things that have been developed for volunteers over the last 5 years. We've got the Giving Back Guide, which tells you all about what nonprofits need and gives you all their contact information and pictures and all that. Berkshire United Way has this incredible online resource. It's a volunteer platform, basically, and you can go in there and register, and it tells you how many hours you volunteered. It gives you suggestions for places you might like to volunteer, and it adds up the value of your volunteer hours. And I don't know if you know this, but in Massachusetts, the value of a volunteer hour is the highest in the entire country. And I just got a new number. Let me see if I can find it. It's something like $39.
Wow.
Is the value of a volunteer hour in Massachusetts.
That's amazing.
It's the highest of all the states.
And I'll bet volunteers don't even think about placing a value on that hour, right? And yet, if you break it right down, you know, everything has a value like that. And if you were to replace that volunteer hour with a paid hour, which obviously the nonprofits could never afford to do and keep their mission running, it shows you how important those volunteer hours are.
I mean, it's manpower, right? Mm. Every nonprofit needs money and manpower.
Right.
And volunteers often become donors as well. So we love volunteers and we do everything we can to promote volunteerism. And in fact, this month, this past month of April was National Volunteer Month. Mm. And we had some organization around that as well. Yep. And finally, our newest volunteer service is called Get On Board, and that's for people who want to serve on a nonprofit board. Maybe they've been asked and don't really know what it's about, or maybe they are wanting to serve on a board and they need some help figuring out which nonprofit needs their skills, right? So it's literally a personal matching service.
And I think people don't necessarily understand, like, the board service goes underappreciated in a lot of ways. It's a very critical volunteer role for so many nonprofit organizations. When we think of corporate boardrooms, we think of the big wigs with the cigars and stuff, and that just doesn't happen at this level, right? We have volunteers who put in many, many hours of time and effort to manage budgets and staff and fundraising and all the other things that are so important for nonprofit organizations. People I don't think really realize how much work goes on under the surface just to keep an organization like that humming along.
Yeah, and it is a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are all kinds of volunteer positions. Some of them are easy. Some of them require you to lift boxes. And board service requires, anyone can do it. It requires basically that you pay attention to the finances of the organization and the legal aspects of running a nonprofit, to make sure that you're steering the organization in the right direction and that they can actually fulfill their mission. Mm-hmm. So whatever their challenge is, the board is the group that sort of helps the executive director and the staff manage that problem. So it could be that you need a new executive director. It could be that you've got a big gap in your budget. Whatever it is, the board jumps in and helps, not necessarily with the day-to-day, but many small organizations have boards that help with the day-to-day.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe your board treasurer helps with the bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm. Very common. Actually, I had an organization I was an executive director for, and are much smaller than PCTV and WTBR. And I was the only employee at the time, and my treasurer was basically our bookkeeper and actually also ran payroll for us. Underappreciated sometimes, flying under the radar for the amount of work they do. They do a tremendous amount. So the Get On Board Berkshires, this event, you're hoping to match the skills of some folks who are looking to volunteer and get on boards and find an appropriate board that maybe suits their skill levels?
So, yeah, we did have an event recently for that exact purpose, and it was great fun. It was like a party at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that was a couple of weeks ago. And we will have another one because it was so successful. But anyone can, for an individual who is thinking about serving on a board, they can go either to the Berkshire United Way website or the Nonprofit Center or the Berkshire's website. And it's right on our homepage. You click on that and it takes you to a form where you can fill out what your interests are, your passions, what your skills are, what your availability is, if you've ever served on a board, whatever it is, you put it in the form. And then we also, on the flip side, have nonprofits filling out forms. So they're talking about how many board members do you need? Mm. What skills are you looking for on your board? And then someone, a real person, not AI, a real person,
not
makes
yet
the
anyway.
Match. Although we might be able to use AI
someday.
To help.
Yep.
no, it's now. We're just not smart enough to use it yet. But we have a real person helping to match people. Mm. And so far, the matches we've made have been excellent. Everyone is happy on both sides. So all you have to do is fill out a form, whether you're a nonprofit or an individual, and you can find those forms on the Berkshire United Way website, the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires website. And it's pretty much that simple. It does take a few weeks for us to find your match. Mm. So it doesn't happen in one day, but someone usually get a phone call just exploring your interests a little bit more. And then you'll get an email saying, hey, we think we found someone for you. Are you interested in being connected to that person? Then they share emails and those two, nonprofit and individual can get together and explore further.
So it's kind of like Match.com, except for bored people.
Yes, exactly.
Do I have to swipe left or right? What do I have to do? Just tell me.
And, for those people who have never served on a board, we do have these intro to board service videos on our website, which kind of gives you the roles and responsibilities. They're 10-minute videos. They're really easy to watch. And so if you're thinking about it, like maybe you're 35 and you've never served on a board before, but you're an aspiring leader, both in your company, perhaps, and in your community, you can learn a little bit more about what's expected of you as a board member on in those videos.
That's great.
And they're right on YouTube and on our website.
And so important also to get younger people into boards of directors, because they do tend to skew a bit older, and that's fine because there's lots of experience and lots of knowledge there, but it's important to get the younger perspective on a lot of people's boards as well. Well, Liana Toscanini, I want to say thank you so much for spending the hour with us here on Morning Drive. It's always great having you and talking about all the great things going on in the nonprofit sector and what the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires does for these groups. So again, if they want to contact you, how do people get a hold of the Nonprofit Center?
So they can either give me a phone call directly at 413-441-9542. That's 413-441-9542. Or they can go to our website where there is a ton of information, and that is npcberkshires.org.
All right, there you have it, folks. The Morning Drive for today. We will see you again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.